and now Evangelist David Shannon.
Well, open your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter.
Your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter. It's good to have each of you with us this evening. Let's try for the next few minutes to study the Word of God and to gain and be better because of it. I want to remind all of our... It's called broken friendships. It's caused grown men to be frightened. It's caused grown men to pout. It's caused many to lose sleep, to wake them up in the night. It's even caused some to leap from windows down several floors, even to their death. What is it? It's the love of money. And as we read the first six verses in James, the fifth chapter, I want you to think about how James says how dangerous it is to have this kind of love for money. Notice as we read, James 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped up treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cry. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Now it is nothing wrong with having money if it is used and understood and held in the right heart, in the right life, in the right ways. I like what my father oftentimes says about people with money. He says the church needs them. He says, thank the Lord that there are people in the church that has money. That's what sends missionaries out. That's what builds buildings. That's what funds programs. So we need to rejoice that the Lord is blessed with individuals that have money. So tonight is not a lesson at all against anyone that has money. Tonight is a lesson against selfishness. Now let's go to the other extreme and to say that even those that have very little could be guilty of the act of selfishness. So tonight, whether we view ourselves as rich, medium, or poor, we need to realize that it's possible to be selfish and that it's very dangerous to be selfish. As we look here in the third verse, we see there by the very last sentence in the third verse, ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Now that's foolishness. That's so terrible to see individuals that think that they're going to heap up their treasures because in the end it will do them some kind of benefit. There's no spiritual wisdom whatsoever in taking what the Lord has given us to use and instead just going and piling it up. We need to realize that the Lord has blessed us and we in return should bless others and bless the Lord in giving back to Him as well. Notice what happens with what they had. See verse 2? They had riches, and what happened to the riches? They were corrupted. They had garments, and what happened to the garments? They were moth-eaten. You know, it doesn't take but just a couple of holes that the moths have eaten, and those expensive garments are worth nothing anymore. Notice the gold and the silver. It's canker. And the rust is there on what they own as well. James says that should be a witness to you. How we need to beware that we do not think that there is a great benefit in piling up riches on this earth. There is no benefit. What James says, if we're trying to pile up riches just to see how much we can have, how much we can own, James says, beware. You're going to watch it be corroded. You're going to watch it lose its value right before your eyes. Selfishness. That's a part of storing up for self and not helping others, not helping the Lord's work. Also, we see that verse 4, another very serious danger is that they defrauded others. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, cried. Brethren, this is a sad picture that James paints here. There are those that have went out and worked for the man, and he won't pay them. He's kept back the money. But now think about this. Paint this picture in your mind. It's not an employer that does not have the money to pay. It's the man that has the riches piled up. It's the one that has seen how large of a pile of riches he can have, and then he goes out and he tells someone to work for me, I'll pay you, but yet then he will not pay. Truly, that is so selfish. He says the one goes back crying because they need that money. They need to survive, yet he is withholding that from them. God looks at this very serious. We'll turn to Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, starting in verse 14. Now, I know this is the Old Testament, but still we see the nature of God. Notice what the nature of God is about those that will not pay. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At this day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. Under the old law, the man that was going to work a poor man must pay him daily. There was no such thing as waiting till Friday, wait till the close of the day Saturday. No, every day. Why, Lord? Because that's a poor man that needs the hire of his labor. Now James speaks to some. Apparently they had forgotten how God viewed the poor, and they had taken advantage of the poor just to pile up their riches, and James says it's wrong. It's sinful. How we need to beware that we too do not fall into the aspect of selfishness. Now I doubt anyone here would struggle with the temptation of asking someone to work for us and simply not paying them. But still the principle is there that we need to have mercy upon the poor. We need to be willing to share. We need to realize that they are in a different situation as ourselves. They are in a different situation in that when they need it now. They need it that day. They need it before the sun goes down. James seems to be mindful of the poor when he writes this passage here in the 5th chapter. Notice also in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, another very interesting reading about this same subject. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in verse 5 it says, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers." Now notice this. "And against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me." Notice what he says. "I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But he said, "Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." Can you imagine God saying that to us today? He asked here, "Will a man rob God?" And we all quickly say, "No. I wouldn't rob God." Notice what he says. "But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" He answers, "In tithe and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." Did you catch that sentence? The Lord gives a challenge. The Lord says, "Let me prove to you that you can give to me, and I will pour down so full that you will have to open your windows to let it pour out." Isn't that a beautiful challenge? Brethren, we don't think about that very often. I remember very, very young my father telling me, "Son, if you ever want anything in this life, you got to give to God. You give to God and He'll take care of you." Do we still believe it? Do we still teach even our little children? You're not going to go anywhere in this world if you don't give to God. Here, Malachi had to remind them, you haven't been given to God. God hasn't been given to you. Notice the rest here. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall delight, be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." They had a choice. Remember God, stop robbing Him, remember Him, and be known as a blessed nation. Or either continue to rob from God and receive no great benefits from God. Even though that's in the Old Testament, the principles taught in the New Testament. God is given to us. And as we've already mentioned, probably very few of us struggle with the temptation to have someone to work for us and not pay them. But the fact is the same, we rob God when we accept the blessings that He gives us and we do not give in return. Now we like to think of it, "Well, I just didn't give this Sunday." But God says it's robbery. I don't want to stand before God being convicted of robbery, but I must remember that. God looks upon it as serious. We can tell how serious James views it as he writes these verses here and this. Also notice that the fifth chapter is a very strange way to put it, but yet being selfish is not only robbery, but being selfish is also self-destruction. Now before we read the fifth verse, I want you to answer this question in your mind. Why does someone practice the acts of selfishness? To build up riches, right? They want to make themselves better off. "You see, I would give you part of what I have, but I want to keep it all." Why? Because I want it all. I want to build myself up. Now think how contrary that is to what James says in the fifth verse here. "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter." Now you've heard me refer to fattening calves for beef cattle. I can't help but to use the illustration again because that's the exact phrase, the terms that James uses here. They're accepting this nourishment, this selfishness, thinking that they're building themselves up. You know, you can take that old 5-gallon bucket and you can take it 3/4 of the way full out to the feed trough for that one old fatted calf, and oh, he loves to see you coming. He can be on the other end of the pasture, and if he sees you walk across there to his feed trough, he will actually run. Why? He wants that nourishment. He thinks that's all for his benefit. And the truth is, all the other cows are out on pasture, and the only reason he's getting that extra nourishment is because his slaughtering day is coming. James says, these people, they have that nourishment before them that they should be sharing with others, and they want it. They think that it's for their pleasure. They think it's building them up. And he says, their slaughter day is coming. How we should beware. Because selfishness does not in any way build us up. Selfishness destroys us. Also, we see another very amazing thing. It's really hard to believe, but verse 6 tells us that it will lead us to places we perhaps never thought that we would ever end up. "Ye have condemned and killed the just." There's not anyone here tonight that has the ability to judge. But when we seek material things to the greatest degree in our life, that's our ultimate purpose, is selfishness, material gain, our mindset changes. We think we have the ability then to do things that is not in our area. Here James says these people thought they had the ability to judge. And they looked at innocent ones and condemned them. and not only condemned them, but yet they even murdered them. Now, there's some scholars that believe this is speaking of Jesus. There's others that say this is just speaking of ones in that day. Either way, I think it could be true. But the principle that's given here, the fact that is suggested here, is that these men were distorted in their thinking. They were not thinking realistically, and there's only one reason why. Their selfishness had taken over their life. Brother, we may find ourselves from time to time involved in things we just never thought we would ever do. It might almost be like an eye-opener. What am I doing this for? I never thought that I would be doing this. I never thought I'd be involved in this wrong. And the fact is, it may be selfishness that led us into these areas. Just as these men probably at one time never thought they would be guilty of judging or even murdering. How we need to beware this evening. How we need to guard against the truths of selfishness. I hope we all will not only be generous to each other, but I hope we will be generous to the Lord. In the past few months, our contribution has been very good. But if you've been reading the bulletin, you've heard me mention it there, but I want to mention it again. If there's one soul, even though we're meeting the budget, that's not exactly what the Lord looks at. If there's one soul that's not giving as they have been prospered, we haven't done our part as a congregation to encourage and to teach and to motivate. James says selfishness is very serious. James says that day is coming when it's a slaughter. How we need to think, what has God given to me? And how we need to be giving back to God. I like to see a congregation that the contribution fluctuates. You know what that tells me? That says some are prospering more some weeks than they are other weeks. You know, there's a lot of us that probably do not have the same income every week. If the contribution's the same every week, we know that we have many simply being guilty of giving the same amount. God blesses you more, that's all right. I make out the same check every week. I don't think that's what God is looking for in giving. I think God intends for us to give as He has given to us. Some weeks it might be more. Some weeks it might be less. But let none of us be guilty of robbery. Robbery from God. Let us all continue to do the good work. The good work of serving the Lord, of being generous to each other and generous to God. Tonight, how have you been with your life? Have you robbed your salvation from yourself? Tonight, if you're not in the proper standings with God, perhaps you've been selfish with your time. You've been selfish with your life. You've been saying to God, God, I'll take time for you later, but not right now. Let's stop being selfish this evening. Let's take time for God from now on. Maybe there's some of us that have become Christians, but yet we've fallen away. We haven't been generous as we should. We've practiced some of these things that James warned us against in selfishness. Let's turn away from that tonight. If we can pray with you or for you, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?